You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hello again, I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Thursday, January the 25th. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee yesterday approved legislation declaring that the deployment of additional troops to Iraq is not in the national interest. Committee Chair Senator Joseph Biden stressed the resolution was not meant to embarrass the president, but to prevent him from making a significant mistake.
This amendment is designed to let the president know that there are many in both parties, Democrats and Republicans, who believe that changing our mission to go into Baghdad in the midst of a civil war, as well as surging troops to lay the groundwork for a new Iraqi political solution, is the wrong way to go. And in fact, I believe we'll have the opposite, emphasize the opposite effect that the president intends.
This non-binding resolution passed by a vote of 12-9 and is on its way to the full Senate for a vote next week. Republican Senator Chuck Hagel of Nebraska was the only Republican to vote for it.
There is no strategy. This is a ping pong game with American lives. These young men and women that we put in Anbar province, in Iraq, in Baghdad are not beans. They're real lives. And we better be damn sure we know what we're doing, all of us, before we put 22,000 more Americans into that grinder.
So we will talk about this resolution, the politics around it, and whether or not this will make any difference in the new strategy with Iraq, the intention, the surging of troops in Iraq. We will talk with a guest political scientist. And with you this hour, we wonder what you want to see happen with this resolution. Do you want to see the full Senate pass it? Is this going to mean anything? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. We are happy to have with us Charles Franklin, professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, author of the blog Political Arithmetic, and co-developer and contributor to Pollster.com. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the president said, give my Iraq plan a chance, and this Senate Foreign Relations Committee said no.
Yes. But what they said no to was they said, we don't approve.
Yeah.
What they didn't say is no, no way, no how. And that's the fine line that Congress is walking between expressing disapproval and forcing the president to do something.
Yeah, it's a non-binding resolution.
That's right.
Yeah, so what we already know, the president isn't listening to advisors who say don't do this, so why does Congress think this will make any difference?
Well, I think the main thing you have to realize is that Congress is responding to the public. We can talk later about mm-hmm. whether they're gutless wonders or not, but the fact is that the public is quite strongly unimpressed by the increase in troops proposal. But the public itself is also conflicted about what's the right way out. While nearly half of the public say we should withdraw now, in fact, there's not majority support for cutting off funds or forcing a withdrawal. So the public is in this kind of middle ground between disapproving what's going on, but not sure how to force an end to the thing. And I think Congress is reflecting that same kind of problem.
Yeah. Public opinion polls do show that if the public supports this non-binding resolution, saying that this is not in the national interest.
That's right. And mm-hmm. the way the polls tend to fall out here is some polls have asked the question, do you support this non-binding resolution, they describe it in some way. Mm-hmm. And their support is pretty strong, about 55 or 60% for the resolution. But if you rephrase it to, should Congress cut off the funds to allow the troops for the increase, it goes down to closer to 50-50 or even a little below 50 for the cutoff funds. If you ask, should Congress cut off funds completely for the war, then it's a very small minority that says we should cut off funds completely. So there's the range. Disapproval, restrict the funds for the increase, and really cut off the funds for the war.
Let me play a clip from our own U.S. Senator, Russ Feingold, who on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee yesterday voted for this non-binding resolution, but said it was weak and didn't go far enough. And here he is earlier talking about what power Congress actually does have.
And now Congress must use its main power, the power of the purse, to put an end to our involvement in this disastrous war. And I'm not talking here only about the surge or escalation. It is time to use the power of the purse to bring our troops out of Iraq.
Yeah. So, Professor Franklin, is Russ Feingold, going it alone on that one?
He won't be completely alone, but he's certainly going to be out there. That's, of course, a position Senator Feingold's been used to. One could argue he's been ahead of public opinion on a number of things, and opinion has come his direction, if not quite gotten where he is. If you read these polls the way I'm looking at them, and if you think that Congress is probably reading them as well, this is a well beyond where most of the public is willing to go to force an end to the war right now or in the short term. But what you do see much more support for is this putting pressure on the president to scale back or to work towards a relatively soon scaling back or withdrawal of troops. Senator Feingold will be supported perhaps by a few folks, but this is not yet where the Congress is ready to go.
Yeah. So what's your prediction when the full Senate takes this up next week?
Well, at this point, it looks like there will also be a competing proposal, also non-binding, from Senator Warner, a Republican from Virginia, who has been the head of the Armed Services Committee when Republicans controlled the Senate. And he's got a number of Republican co-sponsors, including Coleman from Minnesota and Collins from Maine. It's going to be interesting to see whether one of these two passes. Either would express opposition, and since they're symbolic and non-binding, you could argue that it's just a difference of wording between the two. There may be a proposal from supporters of the president as well. That one does not seem likely to pass. The main thing is there's a surprising number of senators who have Republican senators who've opposed the president, and just tick off some of the names. Hagel, who was on the committee yesterday, the only Republican to vote for this resolution, but then Warner, Coleman, Collins, Nelson, Smith, Sununu, Murkowski, Voinovich, I may have missed one or two. That's already a substantial list of Republicans, and remember, the Democrats only need a few Republican votes to get past a filibuster. So I think there's at least a fair chance for this one of these resolutions to pass. And it's interesting how many Republicans, even in opposing the resolution, have expressed opposition to the troop increase. And so we're clearly seeing that this proposal is having a hard time even with Republicans in the Senate.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, what is Senator Warner's resolution, his proposal?
I can't quote it to you exactly, but the essence of it is also expressing reluctance over the troop increase that would not quite use the language that the Biden proposal, the one that came out yesterday,
did. Yeah, and the Biden one says that this is not in the national interest. Maybe it would be a little milder than that.
Yeah, I believe that, but I haven't got it in front of me, and I couldn't quote it for you.
Is some say that this is just a bad idea, that Senator Biden says this is not to embarrass the president, it is kind of embarrassing to the president to have his his Congress including his own party turn against him. And is this good for the war effort, for lack of a better phrase?
Yeah, I think certainly the folks involved in this would say embarrassing the president is truly irrelevant. This is a fight or a debate about policy, and policy of the most important kind. And so not to embarrass the president, but to express strong disagreement with his policies, short of actually forcing his hand. That's the non-binding part. So it's very serious there. I think you could argue that General Petraeus, in his confirmation testimony last week, he's been nominated to be the overall commander of operations in Iraq. General Petraeus, in answering a question, said he would welcome the debate and he supports the democratic debate, but as a commander of troops, would you rather hear a resolution opposing your strategy, or would you rather not hear a resolution like that? He said, I'd certainly rather not have that resolution on the floor. I think he puts the picture a little more strongly in terms of morale of troops and the motivation of the military to continue an operation for which they may see less and less support back home. That, I think, bears a little more weight than simply embarrassing a president who's had charge of the conduct of the war for nearly 4 years now.
We're talking with Charles Franklin, professor of political science at UW-Madison. We're talking about all the politics involved right now with the Senate Foreign Relations Committee voting in favor yesterday of a non-binding resolution that expresses disapproval of the troop buildup in Iraq. It condemns this troop surge, saying it is not in the national interest. It's a non-binding resolution. It goes to the full Senate next week. We're talking about whether it'll make any difference or not. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Glad to have you along. Hope you join in as we talk about the non-binding resolution condemning President Bush's proposed troop buildup in Iraq. It's headed for the Senate floor. It was approved by a vote of 12-9 yesterday in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee with Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel, the only Republican to support it there. But many Republicans have expressed unease with the Bush administration's new policy when it comes to Iraq. We are talking about what the fate of this resolution might be in front of the full Senate, some alternative resolutions that also might be debated, how significant this all is anyway, since it's non-binding. Is it just going to serve to embarrass the president? Will it hurt the war effort? Will it somehow hasten troop withdrawal? Or is all of this just a lot of bluster? We welcome your thoughts and questions about this. Do you want to see Congress pass this resolution condemning the troop buildup? Do you want to see Congress defund the war? That's what Senator Feingold says is really needed. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. We have an open line for you. Our guest is Charles Franklin, who is a professor of political science at UW-Madison, and our first caller for him is Bob in McFarland. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was fortunate enough to listen to Barry Lando on the repeat program last night at 10 o'clock with Kathleen Dunn. Quite a statement on what we and the British have done since Churchill in Iraq. And
yeah, you know, we didn't hear that program, Bob. So, many people. So, what can our guests talk about today?
Well, they stated that this isn't a war right now that we're involved in. We're occupying Iraq. This is occupation. It's not a war. It's their war. And he has this book called The Web of Defeat and the Complicity of U.S. and British Involvement. I'm really outraged at our being there. It's not our oil. And it's...
Yeah, so do you want Congress to defund the war, Bob?
At least. I wish they would defund the vice president and president right now, both, not just the president, because Cheney is would be worse. Thank you.
Yeah. What about that, Professor Franklin?
Well, Bob's expressing the very frustration that an awful lot of people who are opposed to the war feel, yeah, that this is not in our interest to be there, not our war, and so on. Unfortunately, the fact is we are there. I looked it up yesterday. 75% of the House and about 75% of the Senate voted in favor of the war resolution, with a majority of Democrats in the Senate supporting it and a majority of Democrats in the House opposing it, but with large numbers of both parties supporting the resolution. So the fact is we got ourselves in here. And, there's certainly the legitimate debate about whether the intelligence was wrong or the administration misled Congress and so on. But my point is that as a nation, we made the decision to start this war. And now what we're facing is the consequences of that action and the consequences of how we've conducted the war. And so I think part of the debate that we're hearing and seeing in Congress is this problem of, now that you own this mess, what do you do with it? And on one side, one side sees this as nothing but a loss, that the longer we stay, the worse it gets. We can't really do anything, and therefore we should pull out, minimize the loss of American lives, and so on. I think the other side, not necessarily the Bush administration side, but certainly there's an argument about what are the consequences of withdrawal and the consequences of the U.S. being out of Iraq, and then whatever happens there happens without our being able to affect it. And there I think the specter is Afghanistan under the Taliban, where without a strong central government, with chaos, you actually did have a safe haven for al-Qaeda to work, and whether we would be worse off as a country under that circumstance. The problem is nobody can know for sure what the future is, and so this makes the dilemma even more powerful.
Thank you, Bob, for the call. Next we go to Ron in Sparta. Hi, Ron.
Hi there. I do support the non-binding referendum, only it didn't go far enough, as Mr. Feingold said. I emailed him exactly what he said is stop the funding. Colin Powell indicated the war was lost. His direct quote was Bush wanted to know the situation. He said he told him the war was lost. Within a month, he was out of the administration. The war could have been won with the general's advice with 100,000 more troops at the initial start of the war. It's been a continuing fiasco. By the administration. Bush is beyond embarrassment. He should have resigned years ago. That's my opinion.
Thank you, Ron. Let me share Russ Feingold's comments. As reported by the National Associated Press, it says here, as a Senate committee begins considering a non-binding resolution disapproving of President Bush's plan to send more troops to Iraq, this is before the vote, obviously, Senator Russ Feingold is calling the proposal too weak. Feingold, a Wisconsin Democrat, says he will introduce legislation to cut off funding for the war. He was speaking at a meeting of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in Washington. Feingold blasted his colleagues for not doing enough to stand up to the White House. He says they have been intimidated. That drew a response from committee chair Joseph Biden, who says he's never been intimidated by President Bush. So, some feisty words going on there, Professor Franklin.
Well, yes. Mm. And Feingold represents a very significant part of the Democratic Party, and especially for candidates, a important part of primary voters in the Democratic Party, who, like Ron, are disgusted with what's happened, like Bob, thinks it's a terrible situation we're in, and really want forceful action on this. Biden, as a presidential candidate, has to find this line between the extreme of Feingold's forced withdrawal and seeming to be in any way deferential to the president. And so I think Biden's statement is seen in that light. Here's someone who wants to express opposition, but can't go too far lest he hurt his chances for the presidency later on. By the way, I've got the language of the Warner resolution.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought I'd make the comparison. I'm only going to read you the first clause of both. The clause that passed yesterday begins, "It is not in the national interest of the United States to deepen its military involvement in Iraq, particularly by escalating the United States military force presence in Iraq." So that's what passed yesterday. Mm-hmm. The Warner version of it begins, "The Senate disagrees with the plan to augment our forces by 21,000 and urges the president instead to consider all options and alternatives for achieving the strategic goals set forth below with reduced force levels than proposed." And there are other clauses, but that's in my view, a fairly mild difference.
Yeah.
The Biden uses the term escalation, and there's some differences in tone. The Warner resolution actually has gathered some Democratic support as well, and so that's why it's a little unclear which of these two might pass. But both are getting some bipartisan support.
Yeah, like who on the Democratic side likes Warner's proposal better? Is that Hillary Clinton likes that better?
I don't know about Hillary. Mary Landrieu from Louisiana is one of the supporters of it. I believe John Sununu is one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the full list.
No, that's all right.
List in front of me, but I think Collins of Maine, Nelson of Nebraska.
Yeah, my on-air producer, Kale, was also looking for some information on the Warner resolution. He did also find that, I think it was from a New York Times blog. It says, though neither resolution would be binding on the president, the major point of contention appears to be deference to Mr. Bush, with the Warner-backed bill stressing that ultimately the president is the commander-in-chief. So maybe, you know, you read what they actually said, but it was more that the Warner one was less embarrassing for the president.
No, that's exactly right. And that's what makes it a little more palatable to some Republicans, that they can be on record as opposing the troop increase, but at the same time not breaking too strongly with their president.
Yeah. Next we go to Terry in Fort Atkinson. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks for the program. Just a comment on the talk of being bothered by embarrassing the president just seems ridiculous with the people dying and the consensus of the country right now. And whoever voted for this war to begin with, except for Feingold, one of the few people that spoke out against it, they should all be embarrassed. If they look at the history, which is on one of your programs yesterday, this started in 1921 with Iraq and this whole area in Iran, and they just seem to forget the history, and it's just focused on what's happened the last couple of years again. It seems like they forget what happens all the time. And just a comment that people just forget the history, and it's just sad. Thank you.
Yeah, all right. Oh, but they probably are, those who voted for this war, embarrassed right now, aren't they, Professor Franklin?
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. A number have. John Edwards, who's running for president, coincidentally, has been one of the most outspoken people who voted as a senator for the war, who's now denounced his own vote and is now outspokenly opposed. Conversely, Hillary Clinton, who voted for the war, has refused to say that was wrong and the war was a mistake and so on. She's tried to develop a position in which she's a critic of the conduct of the war, but she has not yet been willing to cross over and say her vote for it was a mistake.
Mm-hmm. I talk some about how the 2008 presidential campaign election is playing into all of this.
It's hard not to bring it in, especially for me, but the problem is that the candidates on both sides are going to have to go into 2008 facing this issue, since it seems, you know, very unlikely that we will have pulled out by then. It'll still be an issue. So for Republicans, the problem is how to devise a position on the war that is responsible from their point of view, but which does not amount to simply endorsing a very unpopular Bush administration's policy. So even people like John McCain, who supports a troop increase and, in fact, has argued for a much bigger troop increase, is nevertheless becoming increasingly critical of how the war has been run. And, of course, on the Democratic side, you range from Edwards, who I just mentioned, who supports ending the war more or less right away, to Biden, the sponsor of the resolution that was passed yesterday. So the problem here is all of them need to find a position that they can run on in 2008, and yet nobody knows quite what that's going to look like because nobody knows what events are going to happen between now and then. Maybe the surge in troops actually does have an effect and violence goes down, in which case would you want to be a senator who strongly opposed that? On the other hand, maybe the surge of troops just produces more targets and the death toll goes up dramatically, in which case supporting the president doesn't look like a very good strategy either.
All right. Thanks to Terry for the call. Next, we're going to go to Jerry in Atlanta. Are you listening on the web, Jerry?
No, I'm actually visiting here.
Okay. So anyway, you're in Wisconsin. Where are you in Wisconsin?
Near the Madison area.
Okay.
Anyway, I guess I want to just say to your guests, I reject the notion that we own this mess. We have given these Arabs an opportunity to come to a good conclusion about their own situation. The fact that they are greedy people who have this hatred for each other, Shiites against Sunnis, in the name of holiness, is not our fault, and it's not something we're going to fix. If Arabs want to fight Arabs, then nothing we're going to do is going to prevent that particular situation. I also reject the notion that if we leave in an orderly way, give them the best shot and leave, but still leave in an orderly way, that the consequences of that decision will be catastrophic to the United States. People say, well, Al-Qaeda will have a base. My goodness, if Al-Qaeda has a base, guess what? I guess we could go back and bomb the base. We could destroy the base. If we can talk about destroying Iran, we certainly can talk about destroying any Al-Qaeda base that might occur in Iraq, assuming it does occur. On the other hand, if the folks in that region want to get into a big fight with each other, let them get into the fight. It's not such a bad thing that they should get into this particular fight. What will happen? Oil will go up a couple of dollars? Big deal. We should let them decide their problems, and by the way, the Europeans would then try to help solve the problems as well. I'll take my comments off the air.
Yeah. What's your reaction to that, Professor Franklin?
I think there is an interesting argument here that it's very difficult for an occupying power to settle the differences among indigenous people. And so when the neoconservatives argued that in 2002 and 2003, that the U.S. should be a force for democracy in the world, something that sounds strangely democratic when you just state it that way, that the U.S. should, by going into Iraq in particular, aside from weapons of mass destruction, we would be performing the moral service of adding a democratic state to the world and that the indigenous peoples would welcome that. That seems, in retrospect, like an awfully hopeful view, and I wouldn't put it quite the way Jerry did, but the idea that there are indigenous conflicts and these conflicts are serious and really can't be ameliorated or papered over by U.S. action, I think is one of the things that we underappreciate when we think about using U.S. power in this way. Now, the flip side of the problem is whether Jerry seems optimistic that if we pull out and they do whatever they do, it's no skin off our nose, in effect. He could be right, but on the other hand, he could be wrong, and I would say we're very uncertain about what that future looks like, and that's the tricky part there.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Dave in Menominee, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. You know, there's something that we've forgotten. The Sunnis and Shiites, they lived alongside each other in these neighborhoods for thousands of years. We know through the news that they've lived alongside each other all this time, and now things are being separated, boarded up, walls being built, neighborhoods are being, you know, scoured.
Dave, you know, I mean, a lot of people say that's because Saddam Hussein cracked down on it all. But anyway,
What I was going to say is, you know, we invaded the country, we let the looting go on, it dismantled their police force, we debathified everything. Now we got people saying, boy, you know, they don't appreciate us. You know, they've just been fighting forever. You know, I mean, it's just
So what do you want to see? I want to get this back to Congress and this resolution. What do you want to see happen with this, or what do you want Congress to do?
Well, what we need, you know, this is it's a little more complicated than. I'd like to see people be honest and not worry about whether they're going to be reelected or not, you know, to do what's right for the country and not worry about protecting the president or being loyal. I mean, that's not what this country was set up for.
Yeah, Professor Franklin.
Yeah, that was very much Senator Hagel's point yesterday. Mm-hmm. He said, come on, guys, don't be gutless wonders. Vote on this. If you wanted a safe job, be a shoe salesman.
I was hoping to find that clip, but couldn't find it.
Sorry, I probably mangled it a little bit, but that's the gist of it. You know, and this is the problem, is that you find massive frustration with the situation, but not quite so much clarity about what we should do. And, again, that's both in the Senate, and, in the Congress, and here at home. Part of the issue here is that Congress doesn't have direct control over this. This is why Feingold's talking about the funding. And I think most people respond fairly positively to the notion that it's very difficult to imagine 535 congressmen actually being responsible for the conduct of a war, which is why it rests in the executive. And so we have this very deep angst about the situation we're in, but more difficulty specifying where to go. That's one thing, actually, that's been working in public opinion polls. An overwhelming majority of the public says that President Bush does not have a clear plan for ending the war or for conducting the war. But the percentage who say the Democrats have a clear plan for handling the war has been trending down since Election Day. And so as the Democrats have now been put in power and have to deal with this as the majority party, they've been suffering in public opinion polls, with fewer and fewer people perceiving that they have a very clear plan either.
Our guest is Charles Franklin, a professor of political science at UW-Madison, the author of the political blog, Political Arithmetic, and co-developer, co-contributor to pollster.com. He's talking with us about this non-binding resolution that passed in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee yesterday. It says President Bush's troop buildup in Iraq is not in the national interest. It was approved by a vote of 12-9 in the subcommittee and will be headed to the full Senate for debate next week. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We're talking about the fate of this resolution, how significant this is anyway, whether or not this will do anything to hurt or maybe hasten the end of the war. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock. President Bush laid out his health care proposals during the State of the Union address on Tuesday night. After 9, Kathleen and her guest will discuss the president's agenda and how Democrats are reacting to it. Health care reform coming up after 9 o'clock. We're talking about the non-binding resolution that condemns President Bush's troop buildup in Iraq. It passed the Senate Foreign Relations Committee yesterday. It's headed to the full Senate. And our next caller is Carrie in Madison. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
I can't believe it's taken him this long to tell him you've done enough. He's refused to listen to any of his advisors that have told him, look, you're not going about this the right way. And now that he thinks he needs more troops, I don't know. He's had enough time. And I don't think that he deserves, I don't think he deserves them to be polite about the way they say it. I think he has ignored them long enough. And us long enough, saying, you know, get us out of there. We shouldn't be here.
Yeah. And problem is, though, Professor Franklin, this resolution won't get us out of there, right?
No, certainly the resolution won't. And it almost certainly won't affect the troop levels either. The president, in fact, Vice President Cheney, in a very strongly worded interview on CNN yesterday, said, no, the troops are going in. That's going to happen. We're not going to stop doing that. And that's right. This resolution won't do anything to stop that. The resolution does put more political pressure on the president, and so in the long run might have some effect, but in the short run it certainly won't stop the troop surge. We haven't really mentioned Cheney today, and that's worth saying that he gave a very combative interview on Wolf Blitzer's show on CNN yesterday, in which Cheney strongly defended the Iraq policy and said, no, it's not been a history of blunders. We're, in fact, successful there. We've overturned the regime. They've held three democratic elections. They have an elected government. It's only had a year in office. It's not very much time for a brand-new government to sort itself out. And while, yes, there are problems, our efforts there have broadly been successful. Now, that certainly flies in the face of public opinion and public perception about it. But it's the strongest, by far, defense of the Iraq policy that we've heard from the administration in a long time. It'll be interesting to see how much of that gets picked up versus that remains just the vice president speaking alone.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me of that. He really did, too, just say, you know, hey, Congress doesn't like it, they can lump it. Who cares? We don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, in essence.
Yeah. That we have the power to do this, we're authorized to do it, we're going to move ahead with it. But the defense that says, no, the situation's not as bad as it's portrayed, that in fact it is largely a success, that's a dramatic, and I'm sure Democrats would say breathtaking, view of the world. But it's one that the administration might turn to in its defense, and we'll see.
I kind of gave a previous caller a little bit of a short shrift when he wanted to talk about he thought that if we got out of there, I think he thought the Sunni and the Shia would get along and everything would be fine as long as we pulled out. But the president says there'll be unimaginable slaughter if once troops come out. The conventional wisdom is that this will be a horrific once we pull out, right?
Right. Mm. I think the difficulty that we have here is that that caller was saying specifically and correctly that, Sunnis and Shias were intermarrying. Mm. They were living in the same neighborhoods. I don't have any idea myself whether it all was peace and harmony or whether this was just because Saddam imposed public order through brutal means. But when we destabilized the status quo, whatever that equilibrium was under Saddam, we overturned it. Now, the question I have, and I don't know the answer, I don't want to pretend to, is whether this, in fact, represents the two groups struggling for political power, how much it represents simply criminal elements, because we know that kidnappings and ransom is a large part of some of the violence as well. Would it, in fact, work its way out if the American presence was removed? Or are we not really the stimulus to the problems? You know, in other words, if this violence is going on in reaction to the U.S., then our withdrawal might help solve that problem. On the other hand, if it's really an indigenous internal struggle for power, whether we're there or not doesn't seem to make much difference.
Yeah. Next we go to, I think, Bill in Deerfield. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Cheney's comments yesterday on CNN is like the other couple of years ago. There's no doubt that the insurgency is in its last throes.
Yeah.
That was a oldie but a goodie. Okay, I tuned in when you.
It depends on what you mean by last, Bill.
I tuned in when you were talking about the percentage of Democrats in the Senate and House who voted for the original resolution, which brings me to my real point. And when the Republicans were in control of the Senate, Senator Roberts was in charge of the intelligence, and before the 2004 election, he was going to release phase two of that investigation as to how the intelligence was used by the administration, but he didn't want to put it out because he said it would be too political before the the presidential election, and then after the election, he said, well, there's no need to put it out anymore because the election's over. So now that Senator Rockefeller is in charge of that committee, what you saw Monday was that he's going full force and will be releasing how the intelligence was used. And there's a real fine dance going on with Biden and Rockefeller. Biden is using the non-binding resolution now, having Feingold be the point man for the hardline position. And in the upcoming weeks, you're going to see Rockefeller come out with some very, very damning information about how intelligence was misused, cherry-picked, withheld from the Senate, how very vital pieces of information were just not given to senators. And I really hope you do a show on this, Kathleen.
Well, maybe Kathleen will.
I'm sorry, Joy. But anyway, when phase two comes out, this little dance between Biden and Rockefeller is going to come to a head sometime in the spring, and it's going to get very ugly for this administration.
Oh, did you know all this, Professor Franklin?
I think that there's almost certainly, I don't know the inside details, of course, but I think Bill's point is right, that this is going to be a period of revelations about the past. The only drawback to that is they're revelations about the past rather than crystal ball about the future. But having said that, from the longer-term historical perspective and from the last days of the Bush administration, how we understand what led us to these decisions as a nation, I think, are terribly important. And so no matter how that evidence comes out, regardless of what it shows, I think a full understanding of that is important for the future.
Thanks, Bill. Julie in Wausau, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I just had a comment, and my sister and I have been discussing this back and forth. And early on when President Bush started talking about putting more troops in Iraq, and the Democrats, thank goodness for Russ Feingold. I'm so glad that he's got a backbone, and I wish that they would make a little bit more noise. But my original comment is, early on, President Bush said, and the Republicans were saying that it'll be the Democrats' fault if they cut off funding and then all of our boys die over there because they don't have the equipment they need, and they were putting it on the Democrats. And I just wonder why the Democrats haven't stood up and turned it around and said, you know, we're going to tell you right now, we're not going to fund this, and if you send those troops over there, this is on you. And I just don't understand why they don't have a bit more of a backbone against him for sending these troops there that are going to end up dying, and it's just horrible. So that's my question, and I can take my answer off the air.
Thank you, Julie.
Yeah, the huge political problem here for the Democrats, I'm just going to look at it that way, is the biggest danger for an anti-war member of Congress is to be accused of not supporting the troops in the field. And so we've seen Democrats going out of their way over the last 4 years to make it clear that they are supporting the troops in the field and they're not undercutting them and so on. And now the question is, well, how do you do that? Well, part of the Democrats' answer was to have the new senator from Virginia, Senator Webb, on for the post-State of the Union debate. Senator Webb was served in Vietnam. His son is currently deployed in Iraq. And so he really represented that more muscular Democratic view that says, we fully support the troops and their sacrifice, but we insist on a change in strategy and tactics here. And so I think that's the direction you might see Democrats going on. And the problem with the withdrawal of funds is it's the constitutional authority that Congress has. But how do you do it while still maintaining that seemingly muscular thing? The other side, to flip it around, is remember when in the earlier days of the war, there was a big problem with our troops not having enough protective body armor or enough armor on vehicles and things like that. That was a case where the Republican administration and Republican Congress had failed to sufficiently provide the troops with those kinds of protections, and they were widely criticized for it.
Thank you, Julie. Joey in Mosinee is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Mine is more in terms of comments as discussed. If people would listen more to NPR and stations that of like mind, they get a little more balanced view of what's been going on for the last administration from start to finish concerning this war and the misinformation that's been put out about them, by them, and about other people who criticize them. They've been acted like, basically like thugs towards anybody with a different opinion, and treated them like they're a bunch of hysterical people who are...
And I'm sorry, Joy, you're talking about the Bush administration treats its critics like that?
Yeah, I do believe so. And I think that the Congress and Senate need to develop more of a backbone and speak up against his policies and against his handling of the war, and not to put down the troops. The troops do need our support. They need our moral support in a big way, but they also need to come home in a healthy, safe manner. And as far as impeachment goes with Mr. Bush and Cheney, I have three words for Mr. Bush. Bring it on.
Well, thank you, Joey, for the call. You know, Professor Franklin, if the November elections didn't give Congress the backbone that Joy wants to see, what will?
The 2008 elections. In all seriousness, I think the 2008 looms for members of Congress quite large. The reason you're seeing Republicans breaking with the president, even if only partially here, is serious concern that they are now out of step with majority of opinion. For Democrats, they see it as the great opportunity to move forward. And so I think both are getting some backbone, if you want to call it that. I would put it more that they're responding to the majority opinion in the country, and they're still trying to figure out how that majority opinion plays itself out in things like cutting off funds or passing these resolutions. How strongly can you move against it? The other thing is that we're seeing clearly a developed consensus that the war has not gone very well and achieved its purposes, despite what Vice President Cheney said yesterday. And that pressure is just going to grow and be increasingly enormous as we get to 2008. So the pressure will clearly be on the administration to find ways to pull back. One way we've seen that is to blame the Iraqis.
Mm-hmm.
More and more, both sides, both Democrats and Republicans, are using the argument that the Iraqi government is responsible for settling the problem. And if they don't establish benchmarks, if they don't meet our goals, then we have to punish them by pulling back support. And so, in a sense, I think that may end up being the rationale that both parties can accept as the fig leaf to cover our situation.
Well, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Charles Franklin, professor of political science at UW-Madison. He's the author of the blog Political Arithmetic and co-developer, contributor to Pollster.com. If you would like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, call the radio store 1-800-747-7444 or listen to our programs archived on our website, WPR.org. Thanks to Leo Duran and Cale Plowman for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.